You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last year, the government scrapped pay equity rules in a move that was widely panned due to its speed and lack of notice. A recent select committee looking into pay equity, as well as International Women's Day on Sunday, has brought forth the issue once more into the political limelight. I spoke with the TEU's Te Pō Ahure National Secretary, Amy Ross, about the pay equity situation, the reality for those facing pay equity struggles in the time since their channels were scrapped, and, crucially, the role that tertiary institutions, as employers and influential voices, can play in supporting New Zealanders and advocating for a return to pay equity. Last year, the government implemented changes to pay equity. What actually were these changes, and how have these changes played out for New Zealanders since?
It's a really good question, and a lot of work was had to be done to find out what those changes were, because they happened overnight with no consultation. So in effect, we had a really cool process where women could raise claims. And they could say, you know what, I think there's been some undervaluation of my work. They didn't have to prove that. They just had to say, you know what, I reckon there's something to be looked at here. There's some skills and responsibilities that are undervalued in my work because it's been done by women. And together, the employer and the union could just then investigate and find out, is there something to see here? Is there undervaluation? And if there was, it could be fixed. And it was a really cool, collaborative process of investigation. And that process has been whipped away overnight with no consultation with anyone.
And so in the time since these changes, how have we kind of seen these changes affect New Zealand women in their work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we had 33 pay equity claims that were underway when this law went through. So they covered over 180,000 workers. So that's mainly women, but also men who did that kind of work. And those claims got cancelled overnight, which means that all of the work done to investigate whether there was sex-based undervaluation was chucked in the bin. And some people had even got through to the point where they had proven that there was sex-based undervaluation present in that work, and yet now there is no way forward for those people to conclude or fix that pay inequality, which is absolutely horrendous when you think about that we are supposed to be committed to a society with equality and with no gender or ethnic discrimination in pay.
And what was the reason for these overnight changes that the government did present at the time? And is there any validity to those reasonings?
Well, there was a whole People Select Committee process to try to investigate, because the reasons given were virtually non-existent. Basically, ministers told us that the system that it was unsustainable, was unworkable, was complex, but it makes absolutely no sense when you scrutinise it, because it was workable. We had 14 pay equity settlements under that framework. So clearly people could do it and did do it. And in terms of sustainable, all we could presume is that they meant in terms of cost. But cost for whom, I want to ask, because if there's inequality in pay, that means that women are effectively subsidising the employer with cheap labour. So the cost for them is huge. And if people get good equal pay, what we do know is they spend that money in their communities. They buy their kids' shoes. They pay their rent. They pay their power bill. They put food on the table. They do things which are absolutely fundamental to the well-being of our communities.
And looking to the past and present and future then, looking at what is the current situation for people who want to go through pay equity claims, and why is it so important that we kind of keep looking at this and keep talking about it?
Well, a whole lot of people who had pay equity claims or could have raised them now can't do so, because the new system the government put into place basically makes it impossible to raise a claim. They raised the threshold for the percentage of female domination, that is the number of women that do the work. So it was approximately 60% female and you could raise a claim. Now it's 70% and it has to have been 70% for at least 10 years. So that cuts out things like secondary teachers, gone. It cuts out probation officers. Claims which we know had gotten to a stage where undervaluation was evident. So it's catastrophic for those workers. There's no pathway to equity. There's also a change to how you assess work, so the comparators that you can use, because pay equity is fundamentally about comparing different work, but which has same or similar level of skill required, and then understanding whether it's fairly paid. And now they're saying, no, you can't really look at different work. You need to look at work that's very, very similar. But then you're looking at undervaluation against undervaluation, which makes no sense. So all of the pathways to equity seem to have been cut off, and the system that's in place is really unworkable. So it's a real worry.
And looking to the TEU, so the TEU has called for tertiary leaders to support their affected workers. Why is it that tertiary institutions are relevant, and what kind of role do they play here?
Well, tertiary educations and are leaders in our communities. If you think about polytechs, for example, they're absolutely hubs of our communities. They train people within our communities, and they need the professions they train to have access to equitable pay at the other end if they want to get students into study. They want to have their staff have access to equal pay in order to recruit and retain quality staff in the regions. And our universities. Now, our universities are bastions of evidence-based policy, of freedom of speech, and they also employ workers who were subject to pay equity claims, which have now been put in the bin. So they can show leadership in saying, no, we stand by the People Select Committee recommendations, we stand by the commitment to pay equity, and they can deliver that for us as our social leaders.
And looking to that role for tertiary institutions, when it comes to interfacing with the government over policy, what sort of power do they hold in kind of maybe making a real change?
They can certainly speak out using their freedom of voice, their influence in society. They also are employers in their own right, so they can make decisions about good employment practice, about upholding the commitments to pay equity that we were on the pathway towards realising with the pay equity claims for female-dominated occupations in the sector. And they can stand up and say, as a society, we believe that any kind of fundamental changes to human rights in our society must be based on evidence. They must have consultation behind them. They must look at intersectional discrimination, impacts upon Māori. They must uphold te tiriti. These are what we expect of our social leaders. And I really fundamentally believe that they believe that too, and they can come forward and stand strong with us for a just future.
And with that in mind then, kind of going forward, what do the TEU really want to see from both these leaders and the government in kind of going forward on the topic of pay equity claims?
Well, the government needs to immediately admit that they made a huge mistake and they have broken international law. They have gone against best practice in terms of how you make legislation. They have made decisions without any evidence, and they need to reverse the amendments that they made to the Equal Pay Act last year. And they need to sit down and talk to key stakeholders throughout our society and decide what needs to happen next. That is what the government needs to do. And the tertiary sector as employers need to continue to engage with the union to be really good employers, to fulfil their obligations to employment law, to human rights, and to be impressive social leaders and speak out for social change.
That was the TEU's National Secretary, Amy Ross, on pay equity in New Zealand since the government's changes and how tertiary leaders can advocate in support of their workers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.